from the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois. This is the closing market report. It is the 22nd day of February, 2011. Happy belated birthday to my brother Larry, since I wasn't on the air live yesterday. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. He's in Newmarket, Indiana. K-State's Dan O'Brien will be here to take up the agricultural energy markets, the health of the ethanol industry in particular. And as we close out our program, we'll talk with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Along the way, I'll tell you about a very busy end-of-the-week schedule for your Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey, and myself. Many Will Ag Outlook programs are scheduled over the next 3 days. We hope to see you at one of them. More on those a bit later during this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of 5 new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Let's take a look at the numbers as they settled up in Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon. Futures finished the day sharply lower as there were some constrained relations in Libya, and Muammar Gaddafi refuses to step down as his populace revolts against him. Futures in Chicago moved sharply lower on that news. March contract down 60 cents in the soft red winter wheat at $7.62 1/4. May at $7.95 3/4, down 60 in July at $8.26 6.5, down 59.5. March corn today, $6.79 3/4, 30 cents lower. That's the limit. May futures at $6.90 1/4, down the limit. July down limit at $6.94 1/2. And September corn, $6.29 1/4, down 30, the limit. December futures, limit lower as well. December corn futures at $5.82 1/2 on their settlement price. March soybean futures today, $12.98, down 70. May at $13.11, down the limit, 70 cents. July at $13.19, down 70. August at $13.04, they were down 70 as well. November futures at $12.74 1/4 did trade at the end of the day, settled 67 3/4 cents lower. March bean meal down $15.50 at $3.46.50. March soybean oil at $53.99, down $2.50. Live cattle futures finished the February contract today at $110.10, down 95 cents. March feeders at $129.20, down 87.5. And August lean hogs, rather May, at $100.05, down 50 cents. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. March crude oil futures, $93.57 a barrel, down rather up $7.30 a barrel. The April futures at $95.35 were up $5.64. Ethanol on the day at $2.43 1/10, down 7 3/10. Natural gas at $3.86 1/2, a penny and a tenth lower. Heating oil or diesel fuel up 8 2/10 cents at $2.79 1/2. That is, and the gold futures on the day at $1,400.50 an ounce, up $12.30. The Dow at 12,223 is down just about 168 points. The dollar at 77.76, up 0.07. The CRB index on the afternoon at 344.36 is 2.58 higher on the day. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area of the day. Mostly cloudy skies, a high near 34 degrees. Northeast winds around 6 miles an hour tonight. Mostly cloudy, a low of 26. Northeast winds at 6 miles an hour. Wednesday, partly sunny skies, a high of 44. South-southeast winds between 7 and 15. They'll gust as high as 18. And Wednesday night, a 30% chance of rain. Mostly cloudy, a low of 35. South-southwest winds at 10 miles an hour. Thursday, a 50% chance of rain. Cloudy, a high of 47 degrees. Light winds becoming northeast at about 11 to 14. Winds could gust as high as 17 miles an hour. Thursday night, should see rain likely before midnight, then rain and snow likely after that. Cloudy, a low of 30 degrees. Chance of precip on Thursday evening is 70%. Friday should see mostly cloudy skies with a high near 36 degrees.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to Cooley at admworld.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Tuesday afternoon, time to check in on the agricultural futures markets. As is usually the case on Tuesday, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana is on hand. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Good afternoon, Todd.
What an ugly day it was in Chicago, and it all stemmed out of happenings in the Mideast, I suppose.
Risk aversion seemed to be the key word. Later in the evening last night, followed along with stagflation on most of the news shows last night, Todd, basically we're saying that there is so much unrest in a numerous amount of countries over there, we're beginning to just feel a little bit nervous about the world economy. And, of course, with crude oil jumping up over $5 today, it makes us worried that any world economic recovery is going to be stifled a little bit with the idea of higher transportation costs, higher heating costs, everything along the way, just expenses that doesn't really pay back unless you're in the production of gas, crude oil, or energies as such.
Yeah, so rightfully so, then the price of goods like corn, soybeans, wheat all transfer to a lower level because it would be a commodity that people would be spending less on, I suppose.
You know, that's the one thing. The other thing is, though, as we do look at this in the early openings in the overnight, of course, we popped up higher with the idea that soy diesel, ethanol, and all those would be much more, you know, we could pay more for corn and soybean oil to go into the biofuels along the way, and we thought that was supportive early in the evening. But then when the funds turned seller in a quite heavy manner after midnight last night, the market drifted lower, and then, of course, this morning we opened lower but didn't trade limit down until after we hit a group of sell stops. I think a lot of that was options that had been exercised on, $7 March corn and some of the bean options that way that come in. So that, along with, you know, like I say, continued heavy fund selling, but selling of the corn, beans, and wheat, and buying crude oil, heating oil, and RBOB gas that way along the way.
It might be important to note at this point that it appears, at least up front, that it was non-commercial selling that drove it lower, and that commercials really hadn't stepped in to liquidate their positions, correct?
That would be very, very true. I mean, this was fund liquidation. It was not a, the actual fundamental type liquidation fact here, other than the fact that we did get the announcement out of Brazil that they were going to raise their production number, from 69 million metric ton probably up to 71 million metric ton. The feeling that the numbers we will get later this week from the government will probably use their baseline figures as far as that increase in acreage that we thought was rather high last week, that was back in November. And if you put trend line yields along with that, that does increase our carryout for next year in both corn and beans.
Do you have an idea on today's trade who was on the opposite side? So every time we have a seller, there's always a buyer. Who was it today?
You know, that I'm not sure of. I have no idea. I'm going to think it was some bargain hunters, some buyers, or maybe some people that had been short a little bit taking some profits. I know that any of the buying that happened here was people that had shorts that they were taking profits on. And it was generally before it got limit down, Todd, and got locked down for the day, feeling that maybe the sell-off was over, and it looked at times where we saw a little hope. It was a very depressing day as far as looking at these markets and the trends that we had going.
And finally, for the afternoon, did you take a look at the synthetics? Where are they trading?
Yeah, you know, we got the March corn, I think we were down around, May corn was 81 to 83. So basically, we're showing a 90 there, so about another 7 cents.
Right.
And on the May beans, they were trading 13.10 to 13.11. So they weren't. They were only a penny or right
at
the price.
We're on the bottom end of the range for everything, at least.
Yeah, and same with the wheat. It was basically just a limit down to half a cent more. It was only the corn that was an extra 7 cents.
Okay, thank you so much, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Todd.
That's Wayne Nelson with L&M Commodities. He's in New Market, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That one happens each and every Tuesday afternoon.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
This is Illinois Public Media, agricultural programming for the farming world. Your director of ag programming, Dave Dickey, will be here in a moment to take a look at what's happening in the world of ag news.
In agricultural news, a European Union committee approved proposals today to allow tiny amounts of unapproved genetically modified material in animal feed imports to the bloc. EU governments and lawmakers now have up to 3 months to either approve or reject the committee's decision before the rules can be adopted formally by the EU executive as law. The proposals would allow up to 0.1% of GM material approved in a producing country but not in Europe in imports of animal feed but not in human feed. Chinese authorities have reportedly rejected a proposal to cut soy and soy oil import tariffs. The China Business News cited one industry source as saying that the proposed reduction had been rejected by authorities in charge of the matter. An industry source says that senior Chinese officials with the Commerce Ministry mentioned the reduction at an internal meeting as part of efforts to reduce the trade imbalance, but no official proposal was made to the State Council or Finance Ministry. The paper says that any possible tax cut by China would not drive down Chicago prices, and subsidies offered to Chinese crushers would help Beijing cool food inflation. The U.S. House of Representatives voted last Friday evening against an attempt to cap farm program payments at $250,000 as part of the budget resolution to cut $61 billion out of federal spending this year. House lawmakers also voted Friday to ban the Environmental Protection Agency from implementing any regulations to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. Argentina's government will authorize 7 million tons more of corn exports on Wednesday, bringing the total to 12 million metric tons. The country is the world's number two corn supplier after the U.S. The Buenos Aires Grain Exchange estimates the country's harvest at 19.5 million metric tons. Brazil's 2011 soybean crop could rise to a record 72 million tons, that according to Oil World Today. It was the fourth increase of its Brazilian harvest estimate this month. The new crop estimate is 1 million tons higher than Oil World's previous forecast on February 15th. Walmart stores posted its seventh consecutive quarterly drop in sales at existing U.S. stores. The world's largest retailer earned $5.02 billion, or $1.41 per share in the fourth quarter ending January 31st, up from $4.82 billion, or $1.26 per share a year earlier. Sales at U.S. stores open at least a year fell 1.8%. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Dave and I have a very busy end of the week planned. Starting tomorrow morning, I'll be in Hoopston at 9 a.m. at the American Legion Post there, courtesy Taylor Higgins Ellis Insurance. along with Harris Insurance and King Danforth Insurance Agency, to kick off the crop insurance buying season. And then tomorrow evening, Dave and Company will be in New Ross, Indiana, at the United Methodist Church. That one starts at 6 o'clock Central with a light supper. 6:30 for the Ag Panel, which will include Jackie Bakes, Chuck Shelby, and the folks from EFG. That's at the United Methodist Church tomorrow evening. And then on Friday of this week, I'll spend the day at the I Hotel right here in Urbana-Champaign, just south of the Assembly Hall, at the Illinois Soybean Association National Soybean Research Labs, Illinois Research Summit Day. I'll emcee the event, but the important part for you is that you need to visit this website right now to get yourself registered, and it's free, of course. There's a meal involved, too, at ilsoy.org. That's ilsoy.org. You'll learn how your checkoff dollars are being used by the researchers and scientists, and we'll kick off the morning with a little crop insurance. Bruce Sherrick will be there to start the program. At midday, Daryl Good will have an update of how he sees the commodity markets. And then as we close out the day, our Commodity Week panel will be done live at the I Hotel. Be sure you visit ilsoy.org and get registered today. Our panelists for Commodity Week will include this week Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois, Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities from Bloomington, and from right here in Champaign, Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing. As if that's not enough for your calendar, one more event on Thursday of this week. The performance-tested bull sale will take place on the Illinois State Fairgrounds. It'll start at 11 a.m. and kick off the Beef Expo. The details come up next. The bull sale is this Thursday on the Illinois State Fairgrounds in Springfield. It's called the Illinois Performance Tested Bull Sale because from the time the animal is born until it is sold, its performance is documented. Beef specialist Dave Seibert says information is driving beef production in the United States.
We require these bulls to have numerous measurements, and that measurements are processed through the breed association. That includes all the way back to calving ease, birth weight, weaning weight, yearling weight, maternal milk, carcass traits. The Angus bulls have to be scanned. We got dollar value indexes. Whenever we bring those bulls down to process before the sale, we collect frame scores, pelvic measurements, scrotal circumference, weight per day of age. We structurally sound evaluate those bulls. So those bulls have to jump through many, 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 many hoops in order to get there. We require them to be yonis tested, the dam. We require this year a new thing. It's BVD, PI, ear notch tested. So, I mean, the list of things they have to jump through are many, many. And that's why only about 75% of our bulls make it there because of our numerous stringent requirements.
Data, data, and more data is collected on the bulls in an effort to provide a sound platform from which a buyer can make a good decision about how the bull will change, improve, and succeed in a herd.
Well, the only reason you buy any seed stock, whether that seed stock is a bushel of corn or a bushel of beans or a bull or even a heifer, is to their transmitting ability. And, of course, that's really their offsprings is what you're really concerned about. And, again, there's a thing called EPDs, expected progeny difference, that projects what the next generation will be. And that's what's driving the purebred industry. That's what's really driving the commercial industry when it buys genetics.
Speaking of buying, the Illinois Performance Tested Bull Sale kicks off at 11 a.m. Thursday morning, February the 24th, 2011. On the Illinois State Fairgrounds in Springfield, those interested in getting a feel for the animals prior to the sale can see the bill and performance data at www.iptbullsale.com. That stands for Illinois Performance Tested Bull Sale.com. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. We always check the agricultural energy markets, and once a month, Dan O'Brien helps us do that. He's with K-State in Kansas. Good afternoon to you, Dan. Thanks for taking the time.
Yes, thank you, Todd.
Well, let's talk a little bit about ethanol. You penned another article I think our audience will find of interest. And it took a look at the impact of ethanol and corn price trends on the profitability of the ethanol industry. How did you summarize it?
In so many words, when you look at the price trends we've seen and even what we're seeing today in terms of ethanol falling off a little bit, whereas corn prices have fallen off a lot, 70 cents, limit down 30 cents, ethanol just down 3 cents per gallon, you're moving in directions that tend to help the profitability of ethanol. And if ethanol closed today at about 243 on the futures, that's approximating in the cash price, you'd have a break-even price of about 683 per bushel of corn on a cash basis. So we're seeing cash prices probably in a lot of places in Iowa, Illinois, being very, very strong, but still lower than that. And it seems that if we see a situation where the energy markets move higher, ethanol prices are supported, and corn prices moderate some, then that would help the profitability of ethanol plants, at least in the near term.
Can you tell me about recent times when ethanol plants were not so profitable? There was an era between 08 and 09 in December and, May of that year that things were not as good.
Well, that's right. From December of 2008 through about May of 2009, plants lost from 1 to 10 cents per gallon, which doesn't seem like a lot, but just that prolonged period of tightness on profits and slight losses led to all the problems that we'd seen in the ethanol industry. So major problems can come if we have any type of a prolonged tightness in that industry. But given what we've seen just today, given that there still are risks out in 2011 with high corn prices, it would seem that we're at least standing decently today.
Now, tell me more about that era where they were losing. What was the price of ethanol, corn, and crude oil like?
Well, let's see it. You were coming out of the extreme highs that we'd seen in the summer of 2008. Let's see here. Well, actually, Todd, I can talk more about the cost per gallon.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. I stepped outside of your comfort area. So
we were about at $1.50. We were bouncing around $1.50 per gallon to both for the selling price of ethanol as well as the producing price. So and now we're sitting today at the situations where we're about $2.20 per gallon. But again, the ethanol selling price, we're about $2.20 per gallon for cost of production, but the selling price is about $2.28 thereabouts, and again, or $2.43 given what we'd seen here recently. So we're running, you know, probably 5, 10, 15 cents above the cost of production for many of the ethanol plants that are, you know, in the ballpark in terms of efficiency and competitiveness.
Would a spike sharply higher in the crude oil market cause a problem for the ethanol industry at all, or does that push the ethanol industry to continue to produce?
That's a very intriguing question. A higher spike, if it led to some type of an economic slowdown, could ultimately hurt demand for ethanol. That would be a problem. But in the short run, it would help the selling price of ethanol until the economic slowdown started to happen.
Thank you so much, Dan, for joining us today.
Thanks, Todd.
Dan O'Brien is with K-State Extension, joins us from Kansas. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. In just a couple minutes, Don Day will be here with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast for the Midwest, the nation, and the planet.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
It's National Margarita Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1630, popcorn was introduced to the colonists by Native Americans for the first Thanksgiving dinner. Native Americans were growing it for more than 1,000 years before the arrival of European explorers. By the way, in 1964, scientists digging in southern Mexico found a small cob of popcorn that was 7,000 years old. In 1857, Heinrich Hertz was born, a German physicist. He was the first to broadcast and receive radio waves. In 1879, Woolworth's, the first chain store, opened in Utica, New York. In 1900, Paul Colesman was born, a German-American engineer. He invented the world's first accurate barometric altimeter. The invention played a major role in establishing routine air service and thus trade around the world. In 1925, Sir Thomas Clifford Allbutt died, an English physician. He invented the short 6-inch clinical thermometer. Before that, a foot-long thermometer was used that took 20 minutes to determine a patient's temperature. And in 1987, Andy Warhol died, an American painter of the pop art movement in the 1960s. He made paintings of Campbell's soup cans, Coca-Cola cans, and other American products. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Tuesday afternoon, Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, now joins us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Good afternoon to you, Don.
Good afternoon.
Tell me about the weather forecast here in the Midwest. We were warm, and I woke up this morning, and it was cold.
Yeah, well, we're back to colder weather now. There's going to be another release of cold air out of central and western Canada, and it will be moving in here for the rest of the week, probably expected to be cooler than normal all the way into the first few days of March. So we're going to turn the tables a little bit, and there's going to be some rain and snow across many areas of the Midwest, but especially the Ohio Valley. That area could be quite wet, especially by the weekend and the next week.
And if you take a look out west, we lost a lot of snow cover. Is there any concern that the temperatures will be low enough either in the Midwest for the soft red winter wheat crop or the hard red winter wheat crop out west that it will cause some problems?
I don't think so. Now, we are going to have some very cold temperatures in the Dakotas again, getting into Nebraska, portions of Colorado and northwest Kansas. But the plunge of cold air won't penetrate as far south as the other ones have this winter. So I think those areas won't get cold enough to cause any severe damage, but it's something that we'll need to watch.
Turn your attention to other parts of the world. What do you see in South America?
They've gotten wet again. For most of their growing season, they've been dry in Argentina and some portions of Brazil, but it's going to be an active weather pattern down there with temperatures a bit below normal and some good chances for some rain.
And then finally, talk to me a little bit about the cotton-growing regions of China. They were fairly dry, really dry, actually. And then, of course, their corn and soybean belts are on roughly the same schedule as ours. How are they looking as we're heading into the spring season?
Well, China still has some dry areas, and that's going to continue. Temperatures a bit above normal and dry in those cotton areas. There is some rain in the forecast over the next week to 10 days. It's going to be a little bit spotty, though. So the areas that are dry are likely going to continue to be that way.
Thank you so much for taking the time with us today, Don.
Thanks, Todd.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. A few things to keep in mind. Tomorrow morning, I'll be in Hoopston at the American Legion Post there, thanks to Taylor Higgins, Ellis Insurance, John, and Kathy. And then, back on the air here tomorrow afternoon, Dave Dickey and Company will be in New Ross, Indiana tomorrow night. This is the one that got canceled earlier in the year. They're at the Methodist Church there. Chuck Shelby will be along with Jackie Vakes and Lee Goss. That one kicks off at 6 o'clock Eastern Time with a light supper, 6:30 for the Ag Outlook panel in New Ross at the United Methodist Church in Indiana tomorrow evening. And then on Friday of this week, I'll spend the entire day at the I Hotel along with the National Soybean Research Lab and the Illinois Soybean Association for their research summit, your opportunity to come out and meet all the researchers. Please do visit ilsoy.org, that's ilsoy.org, and make your reservation. In the morning, we'll kick off with some crop insurance. Bruce Sherrick will be there. Daryl Good will be there during the noon hour. And then as we wrap up the day, I'll host a Commodity Week panel program live at the I Hotel. Our guests this week include Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group, along with Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing, and Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. So a busy end of the week for the Will Ag staff. We hope to see you at one of our events. Have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.